All right, you guys, I am currently struggling with a pinched nerve in my neck, and if you have ever had one, you know the pain. So I am feeling super thankful for today's sponsor, Tenassi. Tenassi's CBD CBDA is 2 times better than CBD alone and better than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. It helps soothe and relieve my aches and pains, like my pinched nerve, and it's great for sleep and anxiety, so I put it on right before bed. Tenassi was discovered by a team of chemists and biologists at Middle Tennessee State University, and 5% of all revenue is given back to the university partner for ongoing research. It is THC-free and comes in a range of products. I love the topicals, but you can also choose from soft gels, gummies, and tinctures. Satisfaction is guaranteed. Try Tenassi for 30 days, and if you don't love it, you get a full refund. Go to Tenassi.com and use code MOM to get 25% off at checkout. That's TANASI.com to get 25% off your first order with promo code MOM. Since learning the truth about alcohol over 4 years ago, I've become pretty skeptical about anything that seems too good to be true. You know, like alcohol. If you're like me and you can spot a too good to be true health hack from a mile away, congrats, you're a skeptic too. Ritual knows that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds our standards. I take Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus every morning because it has high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It's gentle on an empty stomach and has a minty essence in every bottle that helps make taking my multis actually enjoyable. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/sobermom. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/sobermom for 25% off. Hi, welcome to the Sober Mom Life podcast. I'm your host, Suzanne, of My Kind of Sweet and the Sober Mom Life on Instagram. If you are a mama who has questioned your relationship with alcohol at times, if you're wondering if maybe it's making motherhood harder, this is for you. I will be having candid, honest, funny conversations with other moms who have also thought, maybe motherhood is better without alcohol. Is it possible? We'll chat and we'll talk about all things sobriety and how we've found freedom in sobriety. I don't consider myself an alcoholic. You don't have to either. And maybe life is brighter without alcohol. I hope you will join us on this journey, and I'm so excited to get started. Hello and welcome to the Real Sober Mom Chats on the Sober Mom Life podcast. You guys know these stories are near and dear to my heart. These are stories from women who are in the Sober Mom Life community, in the Sober Mom Life Cafe. And for a lot of them, it's the first time telling their story. These are real moms. It's like the Real Housewives, but without the booze. Don't forget, if you want to share your story, come and join us. We now have 2 options for memberships. We have the Sober Mom Life community. For $5.95 a month, you get to connect with sober and sober curious women all day long in the chat and in the feed. And then you also get access to our Tuesday peer support Zoom meeting at 11 a.m. Central. And also the cafe. The cafe is $25 a month and you get so many meetings. You get access to 8 weekly peer support meetings plus our monthly book club. You get your own feed and chat where you get to connect with the ladies. You also get to go on things like the retreat with us that's coming up at the end of February. And just so many other amazing things. Come and join us. We would love to have you and enjoy the Real Sober Moms. Emily, welcome to the Sober Mom Life.
Thank you. I'm really excited and a little bit nervous to be here, but mostly excited.
That's okay. I welcome all emotions on here, I promise. Yes. And it's easy. Like, I think that that's probably what everyone says when they are done. They're like, oh my God, it was so much easier. I'm like, you guys, I'm not scary. I promise you.
Right, right.
It's just me. Well, it's funny because we kind of know each other. I mean, We do, but we don't.
Yes.
So we have the same hometown. We are from the same small place in Wisconsin. And we went to high school together. I'm 3 years older. But I did have a younger stepsister at the time. And so I thought when I saw your name, I was like, wait, you know, there was a connection. And then also, our moms are like becoming besties, which is so cute.
I know. It is.
I know.
I think they just went for a walk like yesterday because my mom was like, when are you on? I know Susan's going to ask me.
Yes. So. I know.
It's cute.
Every day my mom is saying that she's like going to do something with your mom and they're like, they're going for a walk. They're going to see a play. They're going. I'm like, oh my God, I love this blossoming friendship.
I know.
And your mom sounds so sweet. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
She needs that.
Yeah.
My mom. Yeah.
Same.
Okay, good. So let's talk about alcohol.
Yeah.
I know growing up in Baraboo, where we are both from, what that's like and how present alcohol is. Everyone comes on here and they're like, okay, well, I know everybody drinks in like your hometown, but you don't understand mine. And you and I can say that for sure. Like, yeah, but you don't understand, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So how did it start?
Well, definitely like a lot of the people that you have on here started drinking in high school. And it's funny because when I first started listening to your podcast, I feel like you mentioned like partying in a field in Wisconsin. Yeah. And I was like, oh, wow, me too.
You didn't know that it was like the exact same field.
Yeah. It like could have been the same field. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, I totally get that.
Yes.
And yeah, like started drinking in high school and continued on into college and never stopped.
Where did you go to college? Did you stay in Wisconsin?
No, I came to the University of Minnesota.
Okay.
So here in the Twin Cities where I live now.
That's where you are now. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So it was a big drinking culture there too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think like most colleges are.
Like everywhere in the world.
Yeah. So yeah, just like definitely continued heavy drinking in college. And then I don't know if most people kind of stop after college, but I just kind of continued on.
Yeah.
I don't even know if there was any big like slowdown. Even when I started working, I still would like go drink a lot on the weekends. And that's kind of what everyone in my circle did. So I just kind of thought that was like, okay, now we're at the next phase of life.
Totally. Now you maybe have a little bit more money because you have a job and then you're like, great. And now I don't really have to go to classes at 8 a.m. even though I have to go to work.
Right.
But I can do that hungover. That's fine.
Right,
like,
right.
Okay.
I can like push through and power through that. But
yeah. And your degree is in nutrition, right?
I went to school in nutrition. Yep. Yep.
Okay. This is always so interesting to me because like, what did you learn about alcohol in college or as far as your degree goes?
I don't really remember us touching alcohol at all. And that was like 20 years ago. I feel
True.
Like we know a lot more now. So it would be interesting. I wonder if they talk about it more now.
Yeah.
But I would say that definitely not so much in college, but I think after college, I started a food blog that was like nutrition tips and healthy recipes. And there was this like underlying guilt that I never talked about or never spoke of. I probably like didn't even want to admit to myself, but like here I am kind of promoting this like live this healthy lifestyle. And yet I'm like getting drunk and smoking cigarettes on the weekends, you know? And so I think there was like a big internal struggle that I dealt with for a long time. You know, it was kind of like always there.
Yeah.
And probably made me feel worse about the drinking when you already kind of feel bad.
Yeah. And the idea of like not even letting yourself go there. Right?
Yeah.
Like you kind of know it's there. And that's the mold part, right? Like that's the mold in the basement that we talk about because it like, oh, it's there. And if I open the door, what mess am I going to have to confront and make eye contact with? Right?
Right.
And then not to mention like, what then? Like I can't stop, right? I'm not going to stop drinking because that's insane.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, unfathomable. That was never like part of the, oh, like maybe I should stop and like really, you know, focus on health. That it never even entered my mind at all.
Isn't that wild? Because I was the same. I was the same in my 20s. And the shame comes in is that like, well, you just have to do this better. You're obviously failing at this. Like you just don't have us figured out. You just have to drink in a better way.
Yeah.
And like, I think, and I see, like, you could spend your whole life assuming that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people do.
I think a lot of people do too.
And just not knowing that they qualify. Like, to be like, oh, no, it's actually, it's so much better on this side.
Oh my gosh, it truly is. And I never fathomed it. And I think it was because I always assumed it was going to mean like a less fulfilling life. And that's just been the complete kind of opposite of what I found to be true.
Isn't that crazy? Okay, so what happened? Okay, so you're in your 20s. You're in nutrition and you're feeling that shame, but you're definitely not looking at it. And you're like, it's not time yet. And so what happened?
Not time yet. So my husband and I got married and we decided to move to LA. Like the rest of our friends were kind of starting to get married and settle down and like buy houses. And some were even starting to have kids. And we were like, let's go to LA and like have a little bit more fun before we start that whole process.
Yeah.
Which was wonderful and amazing. But I think where a lot of people kind of even slow down, maybe the like super intense partying when you start to have a family, like that was pushed back for us. So it was more just like, okay, let's, you know, go enjoy this new city and all that it offers.
Yeah.
But definitely still those like underlying shameful experiences. And by that time, I would say the guilt, maybe just because I was getting a little bit older and maybe I started feeling like you're in your late 20s, early 30s, like you should not be blacking out on the weekends. Like, you know, you should not be calling in sick to work. That is really irresponsible.
Yeah. And so was it still like it was binge drinking mostly? Was it like, the Wisconsin way?
Yeah. And looking back now, I'm like, well, no wonder, like that's all I knew. Like I never knew to like, oh, just like casually have a drink. That was never part of my drinking life or adulthood even. And so looking back, I'm not too hard on myself because I'm like, that was like all I knew how to do really. And so.
Yeah. Yeah. Growing up, did your parents drink? Like, were you around it?
They drank, but I never saw them like drunk, like remotely. Yeah. They were like one beer and that was it. And so while I was around it, it wasn't like around drinking to that extent at all. I never, ever saw them like drink too much.
And still like probably like your peers, it's, you know, you guys, this is Wisconsin in the 90s, right? Where it's that like, you're obviously going to drink to get drunk and black out. Like that is kind of the goal, right?
Yeah.
Like let's get wasted.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is bananas. And so you kept that going, right?
Yeah, kept it going. And I would say like really honestly up until I got pregnant.
Yeah.
And I think anyone who's been pregnant and around people who are drinking, you do, there's a few like things that you're like, oh, okay, it's getting louder. Like people are repeating themselves. You know, you kind of like notice a few things that I had never noticed before because I was always that person who was like, just drinking with everybody else. So like, I never noticed that.
Yeah. It's probably like the only time in your adult life that you've been sober around drunk people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, drinking definitely like once I had my daughter, I wasn't like blacking out. There were definitely some times when still to this day, I'm like, oh, I don't like that I did that. Like just drank too much, not like in front of her, but just like with her in the home, you know, like now it just feels like, oh gosh, that was not the best. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like painful to look back on sometimes, but had another baby and you know, it just like at that point, it, it wasn't like blacking out every weekend. So it definitely like scaled it back.
Yeah.
But I would say like the consistency of like, okay, well, it's 5 o'clock. I guess I'm going to have a glass of wine to like, you know, like kind of relax from the day and started that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then like fast forward, we moved back to Minneapolis. So in, I think 2019, I was at a party with like my high school friends with all of our families. And one of my friends was doing Dry January. And I was just so confused. I had never heard of it. And I was like, I don't understand. Like, why would you want to do that? And like, how do you go to a party and not, I mean, it just was like,
Like, you, it didn't compute. You're like, this is, yes.
No, I remember just being like, what? Like, and you're not going to make an exception for a party? Like, I don't understand. But I think it did kind of like plant an interesting seed for me.
Yeah.
So then it's like COVID and drinking picked up for me.
Yeah.
Like it did so many people.
Yes.
I was always kind of like a wine drinker and I started drinking martinis. And I think it was kind of a way of like, oh, it's the weekend. This is how I tell the difference between days because they're all kind of running together. Mm-hmm. So like on the weekends, I drink martinis and that's like part of my way to have fun since everything has like drastically changed.
Yeah.
So I would say it definitely kind of like picked up a little bit during COVID. Mm-hmm. And then 2020, like that end of 2020, there were just like subconscious things. It's not anything that I clearly remember. Like I maybe had read a Quitlet book and like been like, interesting. Not interested in doing it for myself, but like that's
totally. You're like, that's nice for her.
Yeah, like, oh, good for her.
That's a good job. Good job. Keep it moving. Right. But I like that it was still, you still took it with you, right? You're still like, okay.
I think it like planted something. And then I clicked on something online. I have no idea what it was, but then I started getting ads for this like 21-day sober women's thing.
Yeah.
And I remember like comparing to, at that point I was like waking up at 2 a.m. with terrible anxiety. And I think just like realizing like I need to try this.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I definitely can't do 30 days. So I'll choose the 21-day option.
Yeah.
And red flag now, but like even with that 21-day, I was like, well, I'll still drink on the weekends because I just couldn't.
Well, obviously. Again,
I just like this couldn't fathom. Yeah. I was like, I don't understand.
Like, wait, this obviously is not for the weekends.
Yeah. Like, isn't that funny? Just pause on the weekends.
Yeah, totally. And so did you like go into it being like, well, I'm going to do this, but the weekends are obviously.
Yeah. So that's how I like went into it.
Yeah. Good.
But on that Thursday, so I think it was like started on a Monday. And on that Thursday, I hadn't slept well that week. I was like having night sweats, which I had kind of read as like, you know, a sign. And I had heard that people have trouble sleeping. And on that Thursday, I woke up with like mild flu-like symptoms. And after like some internet research, I was like, that is like alcohol withdrawal symptoms.
Yeah.
And it like really freaked me out because I wasn't like at that point, I wasn't like getting blackout drunk. I was never drinking at like 8 a.m. in the morning or like relying on vodka. I never like had hit that like rock bottom.
Yeah.
And so I honestly never thought that I would be a person who would like feel those kind of withdrawal symptoms.
Yeah.
But I did. And I mean, looking back now, I'm so grateful that I did because that kind of scared me enough to continue on and continue the 21 days.
Was that with Sober Sis?
I think it was. Yeah.
Jen Couch. Okay. Okay.
Yes,
yeah. I love her.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that like totally catapulted my journey. And I think I had like a half a glass of champagne. It was New Year's Eve. And the next day I felt terrible, which was again shocking because I was just used to drinking so much more than that.
Totally. I love that though. That's such a good example of like, that was not a fail. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that glass of champagne was like so important and let like data point of being, oh, okay, I'm now feeling what this is.
Yes.
Now that my tolerance has gone down a bit.
Yes. And like shocking at how bad it felt from just like that tiny amount.
Yes. And probably like how it tasted too. I remember like anytime I took a break and then I would go back, like you can just taste the ethanol. Like it tastes like rubbing alcohol.
It is different. I had this so like favorite wine that I loved. And so I took 2 months off then. And then I went back to drinking for like another six months.
Oh, good. I want to hear that.
Yeah. So there was like the red wine that I had like loved. It just tasted kind of more vinegary. And I just was just like, gosh, I remember this like tasting so much better than what it's tasting like now.
Wait, which one was it? What did you love?
It was a Pinot Noir, nothing like fancy. It was just a Pinot Noir. Yeah. And I loved, that was like my nightly drink.
Yeah.
And I had also done, I think by that point I had done Annie Grace's like 30-day alcohol experiment. Yeah. And you know, you like learn so much that mm-hmm. even though I was drinking, it still is like hard to completely unsee some things.
Totally. Yes.
And so I also don't look at that as like a fail.
No, good.
It was never my intention to like quit drinking forever at that first break.
Yeah.
And so it was like, oh, okay. Like I've like shifted things and like cut back, but you know, it like slowly creeps back and creeps back. And pretty soon you're kind of back to where you
totally
were.
Cause it's an addictive substance, right? And tolerance is a tricky thing, a tricky little bitch that can sneak up on you. And you yeah. do. I think that that's a really important point to remember. It's like wherever you leave off is where you're going to pick back up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it might take a couple weeks or a little bit of time, but you'll get back there very quickly, quicker than you for got sure. there in the first place. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. That was definitely the case for me. And it was, I do remember being like a little bit nervous, like, oh, I don't want to get to that place where I was before. Mm. And
yeah,
like you kind of learn like, oh, it's not even totally in my control that gets me to right. that place, you know, like it's not yes. just me and willpower.
Totally. It's science.
Yeah.
You can't fight it. Like you can't just be like, well, yeah.
Yeah. So like hard to ignore kind of the things that I had learned prior mm-hmm. to that. And then it wasn't even like, you know, oh, I had this terrible hangover and I decided like I was done.
Yeah.
It was the end of the summer. We took this like sweet little family road trip to South Dakota and
aww.
Yeah, just like, you know, we were all in the same hotel room and every morning, cause I was drinking like not a lot, but like drinking yeah. and have a drink or two every night. And every morning I was just so annoyed that they were like waking up and I wanted to sleep more. And I was like a little yeah. groggy, like again, not even hungover, just like groggy.
Yeah.
And I kind of on the way home at that, I think I had been like, oh, I'll probably do a sober October and take another month off and kind of see, you know, like it feels good. And on the way home, I was just like, I think I'm going to start sober October in September, like start it early. And then I've never, that was the last time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. There's so much here. This is my favorite kind of story. Okay. So the idea of you starting that 21-day course and saying mm-hmm. like, but obviously not weekends, but still doing right. it, I think is huge.
Yeah.
Even if you had taken weekends off, right, of the course, like just yeah. going into it, like you started before you were ready. And that was very clear that you yeah. were like, no, I'm not, like you knew you weren't ready for 30 days. I'm going to do 21 days. I'm not even ready for 21 days because I'm going to take weekends off, but I'm still yeah. going to start. And I think that that's the beginning of the process of taking the blinders off, right? Which is yeah. the scariest part. Like that's just the hardest part is to say like,
for sure.
okay, I'm going to learn what alcohol is, how I've used it, and I'm going to just start. And I think starting before you're ready is huge. And so you did that.
Yeah.
And then you also then just kept checking in with yourself. You were seeing how you felt and like you were noticing things that you probably hadn't noticed before and you were open to it. And like, yeah, like the excavation that we talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, whenever I talk about it online or with anybody, I always like want to be very clear that I had to have like help through it because I'm not just a person mm-hmm. who's like, oh, 30 days, just going to stop drinking and like not think about it. And it's going to be this right. easy thing. Like it was not easy and I needed help. I did like Annie Grace's, I think I did the alcohol experiment again. And then I did yeah. her 3 month program because I needed like daily
yes.
kind of check-ins and like help and yeah. so much journaling. I think that probably helped too because I was like really kind of like working through things and
yeah,
you just learn so much throughout the process that
yes,
it's crazy to even look back and be like, oh my gosh.
Totally. I mean, I think it's rare for someone just to be like, no, I'm just done and I don't need, nothing's going to come up and I don't, you know,
yeah.
I don't know anybody like that. Like whether or not you're kind of mode of help is like a daily check-in or something like the cafe like we have, yeah. or just like for me, it was like literally 12 hours a day of podcasts and yes. Quitlet, right? Because like it was that, right? And then until I found community or created it or whatever. But yes, you just need that constant kind of checking point. And then also to like, and we always say this in the cafe, like we're there to help you remember what you forgot, right? Because yeah. you're not going to always remember why you decided, like that moment that you decided, right? Like, okay, right. I don't think I want this anymore. Like that yeah. dissolves. You forget. Yeah. Yeah. And so you yeah. need a structure around you that's going to help you remember.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so great that like you have your groups and there are just more podcasts and more books that are always like coming out. Because I devoured that stuff when I was
yes.
early on. And even any time that I'm like feeling like, oh, I kind of forgot, like, why do I do this yes. again? It's like, I pick it up yeah. and I'm so grateful for all of those pieces of content and groups and everything that are out there.
I love that because it's not like, and that's how it was for me too. Like early on, it was like a lifeline, right? Like you were like, okay, like I need this, mm-hmm. like pump it into my veins. Like I need this, like I need nothing Absolutely. Else. And then you won't need it as much as you keep going, right? And it's not yeah. going to be as much yeah. as I want everyone to listen to my podcast all the time. You guys, you aren't going to need me at some point. You're going to say, no, right. I'm moving on. But yes, I'm like just checking in and being like, okay, like, let me just check in. Oh, that's right. Okay. I might've forgotten about that or whatever.
Yeah.
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 That's good.
Yeah. It takes up so much less Ugh. Brain space. Like the further out I've noticed, like the further out yes. I've gotten, it's like, I don't even think totally. About it all the time now. But early on it was like, yes, I was listening to podcasts like
yes.
all day long and reading the books at night. And like every kind of almost like waking moment that I'm not like doing something for my family, yes. I was listening to things yes. in the background to help. But yeah, it's not that way forever.
Yeah. You'll listen to true crime again, like I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I also think as I'm listening to your story, I think it's really interesting with the binge drinking culture that we grew up in. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, when you have that as an example, drinking every day, but not blacking out doesn't seem that bad.
Yeah.
Right. Like you're right. like, well, I was doing this.
Right.
I was drinking to black out. I'm not doing that anymore. So it's not a problem because like
right.
you should have seen how I was drinking before. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like a different perspective rather than just looking at alcohol and what it's doing to us.
Yeah. I think that's really true. And I always laugh whenever your guests come on and they're like, no, but like where I'm from, people really drink. And you're like, well, everybody says that.
Literally everybody says that. Even like in Instagram DMs, they'll be like, okay, well, I know that most of your guests are in the United States, and but here in Italy, like,
right.
I know you probably don't understand. And I was like, dude, I went to college in Green Bay, Wisconsin, okay?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I understand.
Right. I think Wisconsin is, I would say, a little bit more into, it's just culturally acceptable in a different way that is not, even here in Minnesota, there's some differences where, like, I don't know if it's even legal to like bring your child into a bar, but like in Wisconsin, that is normal.
No, not only can you bring a child into a bar in Wisconsin, if they're with you, they can drink.
Yeah.
Like they don't have to be 21.
Right.
Like if you're 14, but you're with your dad, you can legally drink in a bar in Wisconsin. Like how fucked up is that?
Yeah.
That's not like everywhere, right? I feel like that's just Wisconsin. I need to check my facts, but I know for sure that's Wisconsin.
I know. I don't know, but I know even here in Minnesota, like we're right next door and it's not, the rules are much stricter here. Like for DUIs, yes. it's stricter here. So it is a little bit different in Wisconsin, I would say.
No, I think it is. And I don't know why people are like, is it because it's cold? And I'm like, well, it's cold a lot of places. Like,
yeah.
I think Wisconsin has a history of like brandy making or something, don't we?
Yeah, but actually, I don't even know if it's made in Wisconsin. I think they just drink the most.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, is that true? I need to wait. I'm going to get my phone.
I'm pretty sure that's for sure true, that they drink more.
We do, right? They drink the most.
Yeah.
We're going to look this up real quick. Okay, brandy drinking Wisconsin. Why does Wisconsin drink so much brandy? The state wanted good booze. Wait, who is this? Wineenthusiast.com. So during the late 1940s, Wisconsin distributors snatched up an aging cache of brandy in California, all 30,000 cases. That's enough brandy to fill 2.5 Olympic-sized swimming pools. We were swimming in good brandy.
Wait, what? So bizarre.
Okay, so they just always like to drink. Yeah, and it's the old-fashioned, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The brandy old fashioned. Ugh. Yes. My grandma used to drink those.
I never got into those.
No, me either. Brandy feels like any dark liquor is gross, but
yeah.
That was never my choice.
No, me neither.
And how is sobriety for you now? Like, how do you think about it when you decided to start Sober October in September? And you were like, you know what? I think I'm just done. Like, does forever, you know, the stupid forever question that comes up that we never have to answer. But has that scared you? Has that crept in, all of those doubts? Or are you just kind of focusing on all the good stuff?
I think I was so surprised and like taken aback almost at how much better it is than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
And there are so many things that now I just can't imagine going back to it. I still have I don't know if I've ever really said like, nope, I'm never drinking again.
Yeah. Good. Cause you don't have to say that.
Yeah. And I have never felt like I have to have like a good solid answer for people. But I would say after I stopped for a year, people were kind of like, oh, so is this like forever or what? What is going on
you're
here?
Like, what's the plan here? Yeah.
Yeah. What's the plan? And I've always said, and I still kind of do to like other people, but also just to myself is like, I have kind of thought like, well, is there a benefit? Is it going to bring like a positive into my life? And I still haven't come up with an answer that like, having a glass of wine is going to add to my life in a positive way. And so it's a no, because I just haven't found that answer yet. And now at this point, it's like, I don't know what that answer could possibly be.
Right.
And so just feeling so content now with kind of the decision to not drink. And and I think that gets easier and easier too.
Yeah.
And people kind of ask you less and less as well. So.
Right. Yeah. Because it just becomes a part of you, right?
Yeah.
And the less you're questioned about it, the easier that is, where it's just like, no, obviously, Emily's not drinking, but she's still really fun. So it doesn't matter.
And I know everyone's fear when they stop drinking is that like their friends aren't going to want to hang out with them and all of that. And like, I think it is so funny because I worked myself up like so much about like friends, but also just like, oh my God, people are really going to want to know like why you're not drinking, like the whole, like give me the whole backstory. And like, no one has ever, like no one wants
no
that,
one's asked.
You know?
Yes. You're like, anybody? No. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm almost like, I want to talk about it now, but like, nobody wants to talk about it with me.
Yeah. It's funny because you probably assumed that, and I've been you in this scenario because you were like that when you had a friend who wasn't drinking, right? You were like, hold on, tell me everything.
Right.
I don't understand.
Right.
Like, what is this? What are you doing? Yes. And so you were like, well, obviously that's how everyone's going to react. And then you're like, wait, why is no one asking me questions?
Yeah.
What about that friend who did Dry January? Did you like get to bond with her over that? Or is she like back to drinking, but still like whatever?
You know, she hosted, so that Sober September that came early for me, I had like two girls, different like girls weekends within like a month of that.
Ooh,
and that was like a lot. I was definitely leaning on all the like podcasts and like books and everything at that point. But she hosted one of the get togethers at her house. I had told her that I wasn't drinking and she was so like supportive and kind. And she kind of like dabbles. She still drinks, but like definitely dabbles in like the sober, curious life. So she had like drinks and was like, you get your own room because you don't want to be sleeping next to people who are drinking. And like,
see, that's great. Yeah.
I think I've always felt so fortunate to like have my friends really support me, even though most of them still drink.
Yes.
You know, just yeah. feeling really supported by them either yeah. way, which has been obviously really great.
I love that. Does your husband drink?
Yes, he drinks. I would say he definitely has cut back considerably yeah. because now he's not making martinis Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. So like it's funny when you realize like you were the pusher. You're like, oh, yeah. like I was the influence. Oh, I see. Okay.
Right, right. You think it's like, oh, we're just doing this together. And then it's like, oh, right. he goes from four martinis a week to like one a quarter, maybe.
Yes.
But that's been interesting too. Like whenever I talk about it online, that's like the most common question I get. Like, well, yes. does your husband drink? And I think people are always really curious about how that works. And for me, like this whole sobriety journey has like always been about me. And so I've never really cared so much about what's going on around me.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in like a rude way, but it's just like, yeah. I am like fully focused on myself with this. And
yes.
it's not something that I'm like, oh, you should really stop drinking. Like if he wants to do that, that's great. But like, that has to come from him. And same yeah. with anybody around me, you know? So at first I was nervous, like, how are we going to, you know, now it sounds funny to even say this, but like, how are we going to like connect if we don't have alcohol?
Right.
It's like, well, kind of the same way, but just maybe with a different drink. Like, it's funny that right. that was like a concern now.
Totally.
Because I was nervous about it, but he's always been also very yeah. supportive and like, I think it's great. I am really proud of you. Whatever you want to do, like, I will support you. And so,
yeah,
I've also always just felt very supported in that way too.
That's awesome. It sounds like my husband. And just focusing on yourself, like that will always be my advice. It's like yeah. you have no idea
right.
what will happen, right? How you will now influence your husband right. if your husband's still drinking. Like you just have no idea. And so to try to like predict or wait until he stops or control him or try to like, it's just a losing battle. And so,
yeah,
and yeah, just focus on yourself and yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, what a gift that is too. I mean, I think one of the things that really surprised me was that I realized I was using alcohol as like my self-care. And so it was like,
yes.
oh, okay. So now that that's gone, like what is your self-care? And like,
yeah,
you need to figure that out and maybe have fun experimenting and figuring it out for yourself. Like, what are your hobbies that you want to be doing totally. In your spare time? And how are you going to take care of yourself without just pouring yourself a glass of wine? Because it turns out like that wasn't
yes.
a really great form of self-care anyway. No, so
it was like self-sabotage.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like self-sabotage, like packaged as self-care.
Yeah.
Like the worst.
Yeah. Ugh. And looking back, I'm like, that was like my big, you know, thing.
Yeah.
Like that was my big self-care.
Like I deserve this kind yeah. of. Yeah. And now what is it? Like now what's your go-to?
I think I am still like definitely trying to figure out my hobbies, I would
yeah.
say.
That takes a while.
It does.
Like my mom and I just recorded a podcast about like the 2 years sober, like in the second year and like beyond like kind of what happens or what happened for us. It's like that is probably where you start to explore like, oh, what do I like to do?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes a while.
And it's interesting too, because I think I always thought drinking was like a secondary activity, but I kind of have more time now. And so I'm like,
totally.
I don't really like
yes.
fully understand yes. the math on that, but I definitely feel like I have more space and time. And maybe it's just
yes.
like, oh, you're not wasting half of a day like feeling groggy and hungover. Maybe it's just that kind of
totally.
Builds more space into life.
It is an activity. Like drinking
yeah.
is an act, right? Like
yes.
you're generally not going to be like, I don't know, like saying like come over and have drinks, like that's an activity. And so you're not going to be doing some new hobby while you're drinking because
yeah.
first of all, your motor skills are shot and
right.
you're not going to remember and all of that stuff. And so it makes sense that now we have time because a huge activity is off our list.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I always like told myself like, you're not like drinking as your activity,
yeah.
you know, it's just like a part of it. And then
yes.
I've realized like, oh, maybe it is.
You're like, oh, wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I definitely love to work out and kind of make sure I'm taking time for myself, which is probably the biggest form of self-care. I still am super into journaling. So I kind of take some time every morning to do that. I love my like morning routine, quiet and space. And I guess too is like being very protective over my sleep because I'm much more strict with it now, not in a negative way, but like when it hits 10 PM, I'm kind of like, I'm ready for my bed and a book.
Okay. You could stay up till 10. Do you stay up till 10?
I do stay up until 10. Does that seem super late?
No, I'm like a child. I cannot. I literally, I swear to God, it hits 8:30 and I'm a monster. And I'm like, everybody go to sleep so that I can get in bed. If my eyes are open past 9:30, it's a miracle.
Do you wake up before your kids though? Do you have time in the morning?
I try to, but now my kids are waking up super early too. But yes, I'm like a morning person for sure.
Yeah.
Like I'm a 5:30 up before the sun.
Yeah. I would love to like get up a little earlier, but whenever I do, even though I try to like sneak through the hallway, like children get up and then I'm like, well, this is not what I imagined.
Well, your time then, like the time that I try to get in the morning, you're getting at night, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like you have to like carving out some time without the children.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, Emily, thank you for this. I'm so glad you came on here.
Thank you for having me. It was really fun.
Talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell everybody where they can find you.
I have a recipe and food blog at myeverydaytable.com. Same with social media, My Everyday Table, Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and all the places.
I love it.
And I dabble in sobriety talk. I do like mostly
good
recipes and tips for feeding kids, but I do really enjoy talking about sobriety and alcohol-free life. And so I dabble in that too.
Okay, good. Well, everybody go follow Emily. Emily, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Sober Mom Life. If you loved it, please rate and review it wherever you listen. 5 stars is amazing. Also follow me on Instagram at The Sober Mom Life. Okay. I'll see you next week. I'm going to go reheat my coffee. Bye.
Oh, hey, it's Erin.
And I'm Michaela, and we're the hosts of the Two Sober Girls podcast, and we are on a mission to spill the wild truth about sobriety.
Forget the rosé all day cliche. Sobriety is flipping amazing.
Absolutely. It's not just about quitting the drink. It's a gift you give yourself and your loved ones.
So what are you waiting for? Break up with that old toxic relationship with alcohol and let us show you the possibilities.
And here's the thing. Everything your precious heart desires becomes way easier without the influence of alcohol.
We're not just two sober girls. We're also wellness coaches. We're here to show you how to optimize health, lifestyle, and beauty, feel sexy and alive as F.
So stay tuned because we're rolling out new episodes every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. And trust us, they have your name written all over them. We can't wait to share the magic of sobriety and wellness with you. Subscribe to Two Sober Girls podcast today and come follow us on Instagram for behind the scenes action and send us a DM. We can't wait to meet you.